brother. What's up?
Doing the reality is.
All right, what up, world? This is Anthony Roberts, host of The Reality Is, where filtering becomes extinct. Today's show is brought to you by Blog Talk Radio, your voice, your independence, your platform. So join us as we work to build a listener and podcaster-centric podcast ecosystem by going to www.blogtalkradio.com. This episode is also brought to you by Take Action Apparel and Gear, the brainchild of actor Gabriel Silva. To stand up against bullying through fashion and accessories that let you be you, you can visit by going to www.takeactiongear.com and purchasing something to support the cause. So this is episode 178. I got Red Boy of Red Boy Radio. Tell them what your real name is, man.
My real name is Raymond Ware.
Raymond Ware.
Yes, sir.
Now, the funny thing about it is I've seen that, but I'm so used to Red Boy and everything that you push and sell. That's all I know.
Well, that's good because I'm actually, it's being filed right now to legally be my name.
That's so right. Good. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So we got Red Boy of Red Boy Radio in here, man. We appreciate you for being here today.
I appreciate you having me.
Frank is in the background, man. Thanks again for coming. Chastity Artesia is here. We got the homie Jeremiah. Chicago's own.
Chi-town.
Chi-town the building. All right.
I've been trying to get him in the studio for a minute, man, so I'm glad to have you in here. Everybody know Frank, you know, his kids on the carpet, his feet on the carpet when he at my apartment, like Frank Minicon of Black Melanin Origins, man. So we appreciate you for coming through again. Today is just,
thanks for having me.
It's an all guys podcast. We had one, was it last year?
Yes.
We had one and everybody kept saying, hey, when y'all gonna have another all guys podcast? I wanted to do something different. You know, the last time we did it, we had like some gay guys there. We had some other people. And everybody was kind of, and they was diving into that episode.
Yeah.
Mm. You know what I'm saying? We'll get that again, you know, because I want somebody who's gonna really dive into like talking about being gay. Mm. Like a lot of times I think we have misconceptions of, you know, who people are. So you got to get the real people to come through and talk.
Yeah.
Right. All guys podcast. First question I have to jump off and start this off, what is the most outlandish thing you've ever done for a woman? Now, this could be something great, like you buy her a gift, or it could be something like where you was just so in love with her, or you just wasn't ready to get rid of the box, and you was like, I got to do something outlandish to keep this motherfucker here.
Now, we speaking women when we was grown, or we talking teenagers, too? Because I
Let's go. You know what? Yeah. Right now, I always tell people, I feel like you're officially grown at 25, because you can drink liquor, you can smoke, you can get into a club. Let's start from 25 to now.
Man, from 25 to now, I think the most probably craziest thing I've done, but it ended up working out perfect for me, was actually buy my first house.
Mm-hmm.
It was just supposed to be me. And the woman I was with right now, who's now my wife, did it to me, dog. So the crazy thing I did was kill that house, lost some money just to go buy another one for her to fit in. So she, I have some space for her.
But it's so crazy because, and that's a real thing, though. Because I know when me and Artesia first started talking, you know, she still has her house from when she was initially married. And I remember when I used to come over, I was like, if we ever continue this, I'm not going to live in this house. Because as a man, you like, I want to start something new somewhere else. Yeah. We got to, I know you've been here, but you got to eat that, sell that shit or something, and we can get something together.
It go the other way around, too. I had a homeboy who was in that situation. His wife, unfortunately, passed away, and he, you know, he got a new relationship. And, of course, the house that they were living in, it was the house that him and his wife lived in. So eventually, I mean, he had to get a new house. He had to get new cars.
Everything. Man. Ain't nobody trying to be
everything.
There.
Everything. Yeah.
I mean, even if you got a shirt, like if you, as a guy, if you have a shirt that a girl used to wear that you know you can't wear, and they, and you know, a new girlfriend sees it, you got to get rid of all of that shit. No holding on to sentimental things.
Nah.
What you done did, man? I know you done did something. I tell this nigga all the time, his deep voice. I know this nigga done maneuvered somebody. Finessed.
I don't think I've done anything too crazy. The most outlandish thing I think I've done is probably move in with a girl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And people think, and they'll probably hear that and say, how is that outlandish?
Nigga,
if you ain't ready and if you don't want to do it, it's outlandish.
It was outlandish for me because I did it at 22.
Oh, yeah.
So I was
young,
coming fresh out of grad school.
Yeah.
That's when I first moved here, actually.
Oh, so for
I
real?
Moved here.
So you moved here and moved in with somebody?
Yeah. So the girl I was dating, I met while I was in grad school.
Yeah.
Found a job here, and then she just happened to be here, too. So it worked out, and we ended up moving in together. But it only lasted about a year and a half after that.
I think that's the most outlandish thing I did, too. I'm pretty sure it's probably something more outlandish I can't think right now. But to piggyback off him, that was the same thing. Like, when I moved to Dallas, I met a girl when I used to run down here all the time from Texarkana, and I met this chick.
Mm-hmm.
And I always used to say I would never move for a girl. Now, I didn't move in with her, but I did move to Dallas For her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, we lasted about 3 years after the fact. But even after me and her broke up, like, I felt lost here. Because I was like, I'm not from here. This is the only person I moved here for her. Yeah. I didn't really make a lot of friends because, you know, when you move to a new place, that's you spend time with the people that you know.
Yeah.
The people that you know. If it's a girl, then, you know, that's the time you do. Yeah. Now, I have done some shit, like, I have said some shit to a girl, like, very outlandish. Like, if I think about some of the shit I've said, bro.
That you don't even believe?
Bro. Yeah. I remember one time it was a girl, like, I proposed to this girl. She said no. I'm glad she said no. Like, when you think in retrospect, I'm like, I'm so glad she said no. Because even when I did, that's the most outlandish thing I did. I proposed to somebody that I didn't want to marry, but I didn't want them to leave. That's what I did. That was around 24, 25. You know, it was like things were just going bad. And I was like, she was ready to go. And I was like, I'm not that emotional of a person. That's why she was leaving. But I was like, I'm not ready for her to go.
Right.
How do I keep her here? Walk my ass into Macy's in the mall. Went and got me a ring for a couple grand.
That might not fit.
And brought it out there too. And I thought I was supposed to finesse her, took out to eat. And I was like, yeah. And I proposed, like, it was like a silent thing.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like I just did it at the table. And she was just like, what? She literally looked at me and was like, what am I supposed to do with that?
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah, well. Yeah. I was like, well, this didn't work. So I was like, hold on. So I went to the bathroom. I rinsed my face out with some water. And I was like, all right, so how are you going to spit this shit now?
Yeah.
So I came back out. We talking, you know, the night ended. It didn't end well, but it was like we weren't done yet. That kind of gave me a couple of more weeks to work something out. Now, at the end of the day, she ended up leaving. And then we got into this big argument. You know, and she was like, oh, fuck you, nigga. I'm going to sell this ring and go to this nigga in Florida. I was like, you bald head bitch. I wish you, like, you start, when somebody really hits the certain chords, I'm sure everybody's been in that situation where you like, did this bitch just say this to me? And looking you say things like that later you regret.
And they know it, too. They know exactly what
to push. We all know push buttons, man. Yeah,
they holding on to it, waiting for the right moment.
relationships is a difficult thing. Let's skip over some questions.
Yo.
So, Frank is married.
I am.
Red Boy, you're married.
Yes.
How long have you been married?
6 years.
And I know me and Jeremiah is just out here.
Just living life.
Yeah. So between two married men, what is the thing that, I guess I'll speak with Red because I know me and you have talked before. What is the thing that keeps you going? Like, I know it. Maybe you haven't met this day, but you know, that day comes where you kind of like, I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Should I continue on? Like, what keeps you married?
Man, I tell you like this. I met that day probably 10 times since I've been with this lady.
Yeah.
You know, but I think the thing that keeps me going is the friendship.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of tell all my fellas that when we talk, man, I knew my wife for over 20 years before we actually started dating each other. And she had been pre-married and on. But when we finally got together, I knew it was cool because we were cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I could sit up and talk shit to her. You know, make fun of her. She make fun of me.
Can you look at other women's ass and say, girl, she got fat?
Absolutely.
Yes, that's
absolutely
paramount.
And she be like, man, please, she all right. You know what I mean? And she'll do the same thing. We watching movies and she'll tell me, ooh, that dude right there. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
If you come over here, make sure you pay 1 month mortgage.
Know what I mean?
I mean, shit, that's how we, I mean, it's got to be
real.
Fun.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
we're going to be, if we choose to be together for the rest of our lives,
you got
have to have that. Because if you don't, you're going to suffocate the shit out yourself.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Seriously.
What do you do? What are your thoughts on open relationships?
To each his own.
Yeah.
You know, we not there, and that if we ever go there.
Yeah.
We had a conversation about it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Which is because we open and we
that's communicate how it's supposed to be,
thoroughly, you know? But I'm with to each his own, because if that's what makes y'all happy, then you like it, I love it. That's just what it is. I don't knock or judge anybody for whatever decision they make in their life. And if it works for them and it keeps them happy and keeps them together, then I'm all for that, man.
Open relationship, Jeremiah. Can you do it?
Nah. Nah, I don't think I could. I've thought about it. I've had conversations about it, but I don't really know that that's for me.
I don't think people really think about the essence of an open relationship.
Everything.
Yeah.
Like, I've had the conversation, and I was like, okay, if let's just say you're in a relationship and you cheat. She doesn't know. If you do your job, she'll never find out.
Mm.
Open relationship is her knowing that you're going to be with another woman. Mm. So the thing I've told people who think about it, and I was posed this question last week on the podcast, and I said, I don't think people think about it. You want an open relationship. Let's just say me and Artesia. She goes out. I know tonight is Tuesday. Maybe she got nights delegated. I've talked to people who have open relationships, and they do, because they like to know who and where and when. So they need to know. Mm-hmm. So if you got Tuesdays and Thursdays, let's just say Monday we had a great day. Tuesday is this nigga's day. You come home at 9 o'clock at night. You go take a shower before you get into bed. You're washing off dick.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you're washing off dick or his mouth being on you. You have to be strong enough to say, Thursday is coming, and that's my day. You got to be able to hold out to Thursday, because to know that she coming to get into bed with a smile on her face, or whatever the case may be that you didn't give to her, that's an open relationship. Yeah, that's part. That's one dynamic to look at and be like, can I be okay with her coming and laying in the bed, knowing that she's just been pleased by another person?
And I wonder how open it would be, because even with that, do you have a conversation with each other? Do you say, how would you not?
Yeah, how'd it go?
You know, I mean, how'd it go? Yeah.
You
know,
are you like Charlamagne the guy?
Do you
be like,
want the real story?
Is his dick bigger than mine?
Yeah.
Did he? Yeah.
Is there any dick pics? Let me see.
And if you got to run that, you run that risk, and y'all can jump in at any time.
Yeah.
If you run the risk of, like, really, as a man, we don't talk about it, but our egos are frat.
Oh, no question.
Like the Christmas movie, the dad on the Christmas movie, we're fragile. You know what I'm saying? We fragile.
Yeah.
So it's like, you have things that if she tells you the wrong thing, your ego is damaged. Mm-hmm. You might need to take another woman to repair that.
Yeah.
So I just want people who talk about open relationships, I think you got to really think about
everything
long term.
Mm-hmm. Everything.
What you asking for?
Because I don't want to know that you're doing extra tricks outside of here,
and you ain't doing them here
to me.
Exactly. You lick balls there, but you ain't lick balls here.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that, like, I mean, if you're thinking about an open relationship, isn't that, I guess, kind of the benefit of it? Because if I have an open relationship, it's most likely, like, the person that I'm going to be with outside of my wife is probably, I'm going to be with her because she's different.
She should be doing something that your wife wasn't doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not swallowing with me, I need to be with somebody who is swallowing.
Right, I'm going to go out there and get somebody who can swallow. Yeah. You know, that's a guarantee.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of something that comes with the territory, man. I think. Yeah, I don't want to duplicate my wife.
Right, but I'm speaking on, like, Ross, about the ego part. Because you know, if you ain't doing that to me, I'm
right.
going to be...
Vice versa, exactly.
The way we built... Oh, we going to get upset.
You're going to get upset.
Yeah. Oh, maybe we might start doing those things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to know either.
Happen, I don't want to do it.
Because I'm like Jeremiah. If I agree to where I'm like, all right, cool, you go ahead and do it, I don't want to know no details.
None.
And I just want to go do my thing.
And even when I got married or long relationship, I never asked about previous. Either.
Nah.
Don't even fucking my head up.
Why would you?
Just let it be. Because you did some shit too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't want everybody to know.
We went to the doctor the other day and Arteezy was with me. And I'm probably going to need you if you got the hydrocodone. Are they in my bag? Okay, I need to get me like one of those now. I feel it in my ear. But literally, we went to the doctor and he was, you know, put a scope. Like he numbed my nose and my throat with this spray. And he stuck a scope through my nostril. Down my esophagus, like to just see what's going on with my sinuses. So after he came out, he's like, I gotta ask you some personal questions because we need to find out, is this a migraine? He was like, a lot of people don't understand, but they be having HPV and they can have it in their throat from doing, you know, like oral sex and stuff like that. So he was like, are you gay or been with another man? I was like, nah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I laughed at that. I was like, another nigga a dick down my throat?
Negative.
Nigga, what? No, boy, you must be crazy. So then he was like, he asked me some other questions. So he was like, well, I may offend your wife, you know, and we didn't tell him we weren't married. He's like, so how many partners have you had? And I said, are we talking like right now? Yeah. We talking
last 6 months?
Overall? Last year?
When I was in my 20s?
But see, the thing about it is, I don't know what numbers are high. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if y'all want to display those, but I told him, I was like, I'm between, 50 and 60. And he's like, okay. And to me, that's a good solid number.
That's solid. That's solid.
That gives me experience.
From a man's point
of view. Yeah, that's a good solid number. I was with homeboys when we was 22. Oh, yeah. They was like 100, 115. Yeah. And I'm like, nah. Yeah. I ain't trying to get in them Will Chamberlain numbers. But I was just like, 50, 60, like I done got my dick sucked enough to where I know what I like. Yeah. You know, I've been with enough girls where if I know if I like little booties, big booties, breasts, no breasts, flat stomach, stretch marks. Like I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, and he just kind of laughed. And I was like, you can ask me whatever in front of her. Going back to what you say about being open in a relationship, I was like, we are very open on what we discuss.
Mm-hmm.
With that leading into something, the next question is, name a time, or if it's ever been a time, that you guys have felt uncomfortable during sex. Thank you.
Are we talking about with our significant others right now, or just in a period?
Period.
Well, I'll tell you one time. I had one experience.
You got some word out there?
It was a young lady. We were in... Okay, so we went to high school together. I was like a senior. She was a sophomore, track chick. I mean, she was bad. But in my opinion, she was too young for me. You know what I mean? She's a sophomore. I'm a senior. I'm with the seniors and the girls in college.
Yeah.
Some years went by.
Yeah.
You know, some years went by. She grew up. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of reconnected because in my mind, I was like, well, that's a chapter that I never really closed. So let me go on and knock that out. But, you know, we were like 5-6 years down the road and she 3 kids out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm still thinking, oh, that's the track girl. And
So you hadn't seen her to that point.
I seen her, but I didn't see her. You know what I mean? Like, her, you know, I didn't really see her.
Yeah, because women know how to tuck stuff away.
Yes.
Take them above the head selfies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you know, when we finally got into it, man, like, it was just, it wasn't what I expected. And I was very, very, that was like probably the one time, or maybe even the first time, that I was really like disappointed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, damn, why am I here? I'm already disrobed.
But people don't understand sex is, for dudes, sex is different. Prime example. You fuck, let's just say you fuck a girl who's an 8. Like, she's petite, you know, Halle Berry size, Tiffany Haddish size. And then you may be intrigued by a woman that may be like a Queen Latifah size. You may be intrigued by her.
Thicker than a snake. Mm-hmm.
But then when you actually get with them or sleep with them, it's like, they smell different. And people don't, the smell, it changes. You may not get 10 plus dick, like on the scale of 1 to 10. You may not get the good dick we got to have, because when we saw you naked, it don't look the same as in clothes. Mm-hmm. It don't smell the same as in clothes.
You might get a 7.5.
That's what I'm saying. You may not even get that.
Yeah.
So people don't understand. I don't think, and I really wanted to come here because a lot of times you watch stuff on TV and you don't really get the real insight of how men feel about women. But a lot of times it's like, initially, like, I love Jill Scott. I'm on wax saying Jill Scott could get it.
Man, immediately.
But if I saw Jill Scott naked and figured that she had tucked away a pouch and that she had been wearing a booty lifter.
Or some Spanx.
And I see her naked and all of that just spills over.
It's a different ball game.
Man, it's my mindset has changed.
It don't even matter to me. That's Jill Scott, though. I'm going in.
That's kind of like Oprah. Right. I mean, yeah.
Wait,
but it's
how,
like,
how kind of like Oprah? Explain that.
But what I'm saying is, like, I mean, she has a star power to her.
Right.
These regular bitches ain't got star power.
Right.
So they, yeah, I got
it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
The name carries the weight.
Exactly. Yeah. It carries the weight.
At the end of the day, when I walk away, I get to tell my boys.
The name carries the what?
The weight.
Exactly. Literally. That's the name of the podcast. The name carries the weight. That's so fucking true.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think people got to understand, like, when we started, one of my most uncomfortable times during sex was my first time having sex. We didn't even get there. She was like, take your dick out. I was like, you take it out. It was kind of like a tug of war. I've never taken my dick out for a girl before. You take this motherfucker out. At that point in time, when a girl has never seen your dick, you really don't know if your dick is considered big. Is it regular? Mm-hmm. Is it small? So my mind was like, take it out. Are you taking it out with two hands or one? Like, I need to see how you going to, you know, I need to know. I don't know.
I want to see eyes express.
You know what I'm saying?
I want to hear the wow.
Yeah. I was like, you take it out. I had another situation where I was getting ready to have sex with a girl. I don't know if she was a virgin, but I know she was really in the church. And
she wasn't a virgin.
When I got ready to have sex, like, literally, she stepped on my dick, like, on the bed, like, moving back. And it was like, as a guy, we all have skin. So, you know, if somebody step on your shit, it's going to roll your shit up. And he's like, whoa, what the fuck's going on?
Stepped on your shit.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, man. But going back to the whole commitment thing, because you hear so many people talk about, like, all men are dogs, this and this and that.
Yeah. I mean, we are.
We all, I feel like we all have dog tendencies. And I tell people that all the time. I be like, we all have dog tendencies. It's just if we can keep it on a leash or not.
Yeah.
We all look at women and say, I'd fuck. Like, we don't look at women and be like, I wonder how smart she is. It's a thing that attracts us to you aesthetically.
Mm-hmm.
And then
first.
Yeah. And then we go from there. Mm-hmm. Do I think cheating is inevitable and we could go around the table? Me personally, it's a yes or no. I think it depends on the type of dude you have. I've met guys who are literally so involved and caught up with one woman that they don't see nothing else. And then I see guys that they do love their wives, but they're like me. When they see another woman, they kind of like,
she can get it.
She can get it.
Yeah.
And if you have that, in my personality, in my opinion, if you have that mentality of she can get it, she truly can get it. Meaning, depending on the situation or the setup, if you were with that woman, if it's a bad time at home, she literally can get it.
Yeah.
So do you think, Red Boy, you think cheating is inevitable?
Man, the struggle is real. I know I can tell you that. I ain't been down that road yet, but the struggle is more than real.
Yeah.
Period. So as I sit here now, you ask me that question, I have to say yes.
And how much?
But that's just not for me.
How much pussy came on both your sides. Way because of the radio show?
A lot. Yeah. And then before, I mean, it's... Because people think they really think I got a name.
They think
like,
you rich. You
do. Yeah, they assume that.
They assume that you are rich.
They assume.
They assume that you are like Charlamagne the guy. Because I tell you, people be thinking, and I be like, but I just told Ortiz the other day, at some point we got to wear this. Meaning, if people think we are all of these things in the radio, you might as well act a fucking
act
part.
Act like a success. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because then sometimes that draws success to you.
Yeah.
No question.
It's cheating inevitable, Jeremiah. You got a biblical name, so you got to be honest.
Yeah. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it's inevitable. I had a moment for a while where I was, to the girl that I was dating when I first moved here, we had gotten to a point in our relationship where things weren't great.
Yeah.
And there was another girl that was a friend of mine back home that was doing everything that I wasn't getting from the girl I was dating.
That's important.
You know what I mean? And so that was tough for me because in the situation, I felt like I wasn't cheating.
Yeah.
But in hindsight and actually talking to other people about it and, I'm saying, just growing up a little bit, I understood the difference, but I don't think cheating's inevitable. I think it's possible for you to stay engaged and involved in a relationship. I think it just depends on the amount of work that you're willing to put in to stay true.
Both sides.
And that's what I'm saying.
Communication kicks in again.
Yeah, and doing needs and wants, because I always say this. It was one time I was at a panel, and this one girl said this, Montana Meacham. She's over After Party Radio here in Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, if a nigga gonna take me off the market, then he damn sure better be giving me everything I need.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we really don't look at that in a relationship perspective, meaning, and it's work too. Meaning, if I date Beyonce as a nigga, it's more work to keep her happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I date a regular bitch, it's nothing. I've seen bitches be like, as long as a nigga got a car and a job, I'm cool.
Straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's basic.
It opens doors.
You know what I'm saying? That's basic. Yeah. But I think being open to doing the things that that person wants to do, they were talking about it on Man Cave too, where they were saying there are things that we want from significant others, but we won't voice them because we may feel like it's too much. Or in sex, we may feel like we're a freak. Somebody may, you know, not to be funny, it's men out here saying, I don't care about getting my ass licked. Have you ever had your ass licked to say that you don't care?
Right.
I'm like Tank on this one. The shit has happened, no utensils, and it was an eye-opener. So it's certain things I feel like that as men we don't talk about or it's taboo because we're black, and it's like, oh, that's gay. That's no, nigga. Amber Rose asked to lick my ass. You want me on my belly or on my knees?
Yeah.
Do I need to put a pillow under my pelvic bone?
How you want this?
How you want this?
Like
how
Kevin
you want
Campbell, tell me what you want me to do.
You know what I'm saying?
Seriously. So,
but it's, and that's the thing. And you have such a great radio voice. Like, I'm hearing him and I'm like.
Appreciate it.
See, but it's like one of them things, like, we got to get to a point to where, are we really being honest with ourselves? A lot of marriages and relationships are not working because we're not being honest.
Yeah.
Like, if Jeremiah goes into a relationship and he knows he likes a certain thing, we put up with certain shit at the beginning because, you know, we trying to figure this shit out. But sometimes within the first month, we know this ain't where
this
I want to be.
Not long term.
And we try to keep changing and maneuvering ourselves. And it's like, if you got to change yourself to be this person, that probably ain't the person for you.
And I say this because I've had some situations. I know some people that have been in relationships for a long period of time, even marriages. And they didn't end up working.
Yeah.
And the reason why they didn't end up working wasn't because something new. It was because of something that was always there
lingering.
That was never really addressed.
Yeah.
So just shout out to all the people out there in relationships. Make sure that you're being open with your communication about the things that you need and things that you don't need. Because eventually, some things are going to come to a head and it's going to be something old that you just never addressed.
Yeah, and I had to make sure I had a conversation before we even got married.
Yeah.
Even to the point like, hey, I want to experience this.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. So instead of me going by myself, we did it together.
Right? Yeah.
And you got to know
everything was already out in the open before we even crossed that bridge.
Yeah.
By putting the rings on, we took care of everything we need to take care
all
of.
That.
You cool? I'm cool. You ready to walk? You good? Let me good.
Let's do it.
Everything's out. I say it's everything out of our system, but it still builds up.
We
were on the same level.
Yeah.
And everything was already out.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, I heard on a podcast the other day, I can't remember. Maybe it was the Bad and Bougie one. Where y'all was talking about premarital counseling.
Yeah.
I think that that's important, man.
It's so important.
There's some things that are going to come out that you're not going to get if you're not in counseling.
Yeah.
You
know, between you and the person that you're trying to marry, y'all might talk about some things, but if you have a third party, just like the doctor.
And that's what I was about to say.
They're going to bring some things
in. And it's better when a counselor does it, because it's kind of like, not to be funny, if I tell Frank, hey, man, you shouldn't be eating this food, it's going to fuck your heart up or you're going to gain weight. He listened to me as a friend, but if he goes into the doctor and a licensed professional tells him, that's the best thing. I remember I went to counseling with Ortiz one time, and we were working on some things, and the counselor, it was things I had told her I felt like she didn't cater to. And it may be the way I said it, because I know I can be brash. She probably shaking her head because I can be brash in my delivery.
Yeah.
But I remember talking about it, and she was like, I know I don't do these things, but it's just the way you say things. I'm like, okay. But it was like when we went to counseling, the counselor asked her certain questions, and she answered honestly like she did with me. And she's like, so why don't you do these things? Because in my mind, I didn't think why you don't do them. I just think, hey, you ain't doing this shit. Mm-hmm. You need to. I didn't ask why. Knowing that something could have happened to her in her childhood or in her personal life or in a previous relationship as to why she doesn't do it. So counseling is great because they're going to get to the root of things. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask something in one of these type of voices to where you don't feel offended. Nobody feels threatened. You know what I'm saying? And it's a safe place.
Yeah.
But it's those things that you have to ask. And I know me and Jeremiah, he probably can attest to this. I haven't gotten married yet or moved in with nobody yet because one or two, maybe three reasons. One, I'm scared. If we just be honest, I'm fucking scared. Yeah. To wake up every day with the same person, every fucking day, same pussy, same everything, every day. And when you're not living with somebody, when you get mad, you could just go to your separate corners or your apartments. Cool down. You don't have to deal with that. I'm scared of having to walk into a room like I'm walking away from an argument and she walks into and you, I can't make you leave.
Yeah.
Can't get away. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Two, it's always more pussy you want.
Yep.
Let's just be honest. Keep so at some point you're like, I don't want to be that cheating guy. But then you don't want to be that old fool, like on Martin when he was like, old fools was once young fools. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got to be a young fool giving up good women and, you know, investing in things to be an old fool at 55 with a house by yourself, no kids, no woman that got your back, and every woman want what you got as opposed to actually wanting you. Mm-hmm. So how did you two guys get past the point of, like, your own fear to be like, you know what, she's worth it?
For me, personally, I was in the military for 20 years, and I made sure the whole time I was in before I retired, I wasn't engaged. I didn't do nothing. I had fun. Yeah. I did everything Ray wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so by the time my wife came about, you know, again, like we talked about earlier, it's the communication conversations that we had. You know what I mean? So, again, I ain't trying to be soft or sound lame. That's my best friend.
Yeah.
Like, really, we can sit here and just kick it. Like, we kicking it now. Of course, we ain't going to talk about all the fella stuff.
Yeah.
But we going to talk. You know what I mean?
Talk.
And so after we, you know, dated for a while, because I believe we dated for like 2 years first. Then we got engaged. And that took another 3 years before I said, you know what, are we ready? Are we truly ready?
Yeah.
And we still going to be homies regardless, no matter what happens. We're going to be homies. So now it's easy for me to wake up because when I look over, yeah, I know you might say, oh, that's the same old woman. That's my homie next to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it was easy. And then I got my little homeboy. That's third. You know what I mean? So it's second. That's how I feel about
it's
it.
Easy.
But I made sure I took care of that beforehand because that is my homie.
Do you feel like you got all your shit out?
Yeah, I do, man, because I was in a relationship for a few years. Somebody that I was with that I wasn't really supposed to be with, tried to marry or try to make it perfect. I tried to do too much.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. So then after we split up, then I was just out there. You know, I was out there for years. And while in the process of being out there, I met my now wife.
Yeah.
And it was just different. You know what I mean? Like with her, it was just different. I was, you know, I had about three or four in a rotation because I ain't trying to be greedy, right? Yeah. Three or four, is, you know, that's about right.
That's good. That's civil.
Yeah, well, she got in there.
That's civil.
Yeah, she got in there and blew the whole thing up. And I didn't even, I was like, I felt it right away. But I was like, nah, I'm not going to let this happen because I don't believe in all that love at first sight stuff.
Yeah.
So I let it linger. We just kicked it for a whole year. You know, and then for me, the straw that broke the back was that I was going to Miami with the boys, boys trip. She was going to Cancun with the girls, same time, you know. And I was like, we ain't going to be able to talk. We ain't going to be able to do nothing. If I'm in Miami with all these meters and these girls wearing bikinis and stuff like that, and this girl's still on my mind, when we get back, I'm going to have a conversation with her. And that's what happened, you know. I mean, and she ain't never, she the difference between her and the other chicks I was dealing with was they was always on that. What are we doing?
Yeah.
My wife never asked me that. Anything that we did, it was always
let it flow.
Yeah, me saying, hey, listen, I think we need to be exclusive. I think we should.
It was you initiating it, no pressure.
Mm-hmm. We went to premarital counseling before we even got engaged.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She's like, why are we doing this? I was like, do you trust me? Let's do this.
Yeah. What does it take for you feel like, to get married? First of all, do you want to get married at some point?
I do at some point.
Okay.
Thought about it at one time. So with the girl that I was dating when I first moved here, we had the conversation kind of loosely, just because we had been together for so long. We had been together for 3.5, almost 4 years.
Yeah.
And then I was obviously, we were living together. We moved in together. And it just seemed like that was the logical next step for us.
Yeah.
Right. But we hadn't really had that conversation. And so you could tell that from both all of our friends on both sides and then our families as well, that was kind of the expectation.
Yeah.
But again, we hadn't had the conversation. So it was like, I'm not jumping into this damn thing without talking through it.
Yep.
And so we talked about it for a minute and didn't really get too deep into it because you could tell we weren't either of us were ready at the moment, right? And so it just so happened that right after we started to have that conversation is when we started to, I feel like, really look at each other and really pay attention to what we were doing and how
this was going to be.
It was going to be with us living together and being at that level, you know what I'm saying, in a relationship. And for me, it was different because I felt like my eyes opened up. You know what I mean? I was looking at stuff that I hadn't really paid much attention to before. Yeah. And
blindness came off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so you, blindness came off when you moved in?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because obviously it's different, man. We were in two different states for a while. And so it's nothing but love when you don't get to see anybody for, you know, two, 3, 4 months at a time. And you get 2, 3 days together.
It's your dick will swell up from the thought of it.
Yeah.
Oh, you coming in town? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's blissful. You know what I'm saying? Those couple days, those weeks, or whatever. But once you with somebody every day and you're getting up and you're in that routine, you start to realize that there's a lot more involved, or at least I did.
Yeah.
And I guess the biggest thing for me was that it was cool. It was cool to a certain degree, but I guess I felt like I needed some more things that I wasn't getting from her again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she didn't really seem to understand where I was coming from.
Yeah.
Nor did she seem to want to do those things.
Ain't it convenient, though, how it's always that extra girl around who's willing to do the things that your girl is not.
Don't want anything else from you.
You know, when I was younger, my mom used to always be like, they going to want something else. I'm like, nah, I done had people suck dick for nothing. I mean, I've done nothing.
It brings them joy.
Nothing.
Right. They just want to make you happy.
They just want to make you happy. Mm-hmm. But then you'd be like, is this the type of person I would marry? And it still ain't the type of person you would fucking marry.
Yeah. Nope. That's real.
Yeah.
How? What the?
But they know they're not marriage material, though.
Exactly.
So they're going to play that position.
And I mean, I couldn't.
Like you said, that's the reality. They know that. They know that already.
Yeah. You said you couldn't what?
I like to get, obviously, what I want, but I don't want a woman that's just laid out.
Yes, what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you want what you want, but you want a woman.
You want
to
work.
It's so hard. But that's why it's almost like polyamorous relationships are the way to go, because it's like the only way you're going to get the perfect woman is to have 3 or 4 of them to do the shit you do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of, hold up, just my personal opinion. You know, that's a lot of pressure for a woman
it
to
is.
Give me everything that I want, or me to look at one woman and say, okay, you have to be my everything. I mean, that's a lot of pressure for
What's something that you want that's selfish? Like, it could be sexually, it could be whatever. Like, what's something that you feel like you want most of the time? I'll give you an example. Let me see if I can give you two. I can definitely give you a sexual. Sometimes I just want some head. I don't want to have sex. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to. I just want to be there and get my dick sucked with nothing else. Mm-hmm. I just want to enjoy the feeling of a mouth on me reaching total completion.
Right.
A lot of people don't want
female
that. Mm-hmm. Exactly. A female. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Good put back. Yeah. Good put back. But it's things that you want. Sometimes it's like when I'm watching TV, like something more simple. Like sometimes I just want to watch TV without being bothered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to talk to me, say nothing to me. Sometimes I'm bothered if you speak while I'm watching TV. So I feel like we all have those selfish things. If you really think in deep, like, what are you selfish with? What are you selfish for? And for me, I'm selfish for time, and I'm selfish for time and satisfaction.
Yeah. My biggest thing is time too, because, you know, I'm married, I got 2 kids, and with that obviously comes a high level of commitment, because I also have a business. I also got a job and all these things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we only get 24 hours. So kind of picking and choosing that time to just kind of take off all the coats and the hats.
Yep.
That's the thing that I value the most, is just being able to unzip all the dad suit, the husband suit, the employee suit, business owner suit, and just be the franchise.
Imagine taking off all those jackets and hats and sitting on the couch and getting the head that you ain't got to do nothing back.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
heaven, brother.
That's the bliss.
Yeah. But you know how hard it is to find a woman who would just do that?
You'd be surprised.
I mean, you can find some, because I found plenty.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that woman still ever the woman that you want to marry or be with, though?
You see what I'm saying?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
How do you find that from the person that you could, that would, I've had, and this will lead us into the white girl conversation. I have many of white girls on their knees doing things to please you, and they want nothing from you. And it's hard for me. I'm sorry. Black women probably gonna get on me. It's hard for me to sit up and talk shit about white women on TV when people are like, these white bitches. I'd be like, if all these niggas are saying this, it's some truth to it.
Yeah.
It ain't just that I got to tell people all the time, they're not better than black women. Mm-hmm. But it is a couple of things that they're willing to do that it seems that it's hard to find for black men to find black women that will do.
Mm. Without question.
So going around the room, and we can start with you, because you was about to inhale and say something. So
he got a word.
I don't know that.
Go ahead.
I don't know that you can't find black women to do the things that white women will do.
No, you can.
No, I said, I don't think that that's the issue. I think, or at least from my experience, yeah, to say you can't, or at least I haven't, let me not say you can't,
yeah,
I'm generalized, but I have not found black women to do it at the frequency or as willingly as white women.
And enjoy it.
Yeah.
I literally, today, if I called this one white girl, I know it's a couple of them, but it's one in particular that comes to mind because she did things that I will never forget her. That if I called her now,
right now,
and I said, I want to see you on Wednesday, I missed the throat. You could talk like a white. You could talk to a white girl like, oh, that. Crazy. I miss your throat. They'd be like, oh, I'll be there. Oh, that good old throat coat. You, what, black, a black woman, you miss my throat. I mean, do you miss anything else? I'm more than just my throat. Okay, mm-hmm, with this feminist, fascist bullshit in 28. Mm-hmm. We get it. We see y'all as equal. What that mouth do?
What that mouth do?
We eating the pussy and getting chicken grease on our face. And y'all
all
have, shout out to the homie, yeah, right, shout out to the homie Naj. Women got stenches. You know? Well, Michelle was so mad, she was like, aroma, nigga.
Yeah,
aroma.
Right, right, right. Yeah, say it right. Get it right.
But it's like, we got shit we got to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, I think with all of this, you know, Me Too movement, and I agree all this shit is wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But sometimes the good brothers are being left behind or swept in with the bad niggas. And it's like, can we get some of the shit that we want without being lumped into, mm-hmm, you know, the rest of this shit with the rest of these no for nothing niggas?
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you a question about that, though. Let me ask you a question. So with these white girls that'll be willing to do just about anything,
mm-hmm,
can you see yourself in a long-term situationship with them that's just exclusive between you and them, like a partnership, like a marriage, like a relationship? Can you see that?
If she's attractive enough, open-minded enough, and if I truly fell for her, mm-hmm, I could. But my choice at the end of the day, all the time, is black women. Right, I want a, yeah, baby that looks as dark as all of us in this room.
Right. Yeah.
I want a man that looks like me so I can teach him all the things that my father didn't teach me.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't saying I can't have a light-skinned son. I'm just saying...
Appreciate
I prefer
that.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But I prefer, this is what I prefer. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if love conquers and I, right, find a white woman that really understands me, mm-hmm, meets those sexual needs, meets those domesticated needs, meets those needs that I have, period. And like I said, I don't want a white woman that acts black. I want a Becky, mm-hmm, or a
Valley,
Sarah.
A Valley girl.
Or, yeah, a girl who is who she is. Yeah. Not trying to be black and impress me. Just, yeah, be smart and educated enough to where if I have the conversation about racial inequalities and stereotypes and injustices for my people, mm-hmm, you may not fully understand it, but try to grasp that reality.
Yeah.
Because even as a black man, you need to try to understand them too. Mm-hmm. And I say that all the time. Like, so many times we are own white people, but all white people aren't bad.
Right.
So imagine, like I just said about black men not wanting to be lumped in. You don't think some of these white people who are allies, mm-hmm, don't want to be lumped in? But we don't see allies when we see white people. When shit like what's going on in Sacramento happens, we just see another motherfucking white person, mm-hmm, or cop,
right,
killed somebody and they okay with this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm with you when you said she got to be with you and understand you, because that is the biggest portion,
yeah,
for me. If I was still single right now and I actually bumped into somebody that I really was digging,
yeah,
but we can't have a conversation about what happened in Sacramento without getting into an
without
argument.
Without being mad or, yeah, saying they're pulling a race card.
Yeah, pulling a race card. Then, yeah, then I
then
know
you can't do it.
Yeah, can't do it, because you got to at least, I'll listen to everything you say. And I'm open to listen to the other side all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you can't hear my side and understand my pain, yeah, from it, no, we'd never be able to work
now
out.
I do think white women need to stay in their place in reference to, like, you've seen certain videos where white women are on social media saying, this is why black women can't get a black man.
Yeah, that
stay
bullshit
in your place.
Yeah, that right there is irritating.
Hey,
yeah,
little bitty bitch, yeah, stay, yeah, in your place.
You're doing too,
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I mean, white, yeah, black women don't know how to sniper, but they can learn in an hour to make sure they get rid of your ass.
Yeah, they're resourceful.
Yeah, you, yeah, gotta, yeah, mind your words, motherfucker.
Yeah.
So you don't get to speak out and say what black women don't do. And some of the niggas, some of the black dudes need to watch how they say things, because some of these black dudes give, they allow the door to be open to black bash black women when we say what they don't do. And that's why I said white women aren't better than black women.
Yeah.
But I think if we start communicating more and if men start being intentional about what it is that they want,
yeah,
maybe if you do what you need to do, that woman will do that.
Right.
But, yeah, like Jeremiah said, it goes back to, it's like, it's just not, you don't have to work as hard for a white woman to do the things that you want. If they fuck, right, with you and they, mm-hmm, like you, have, was you it, ever had a bad experience with a white woman?
No, but I haven't had a lot of them.
Have you ever had a bad experience with a white woman? Yep. Have you ever had a bad?
Never.
I've never either. No. But I just never dated them or went with them because of my loyalty to black women. So eventually I leave and come back.
Yeah, it was never prolonged.
It was never prolonged. Yeah.
Right. But see, this is the thing. And that's the thing, though. And it just is my opinion. I feel like there's say if you talk about sexual freedom or whatever, like if you're dealing with a white girl, in today's society, it's most likely that if we're going to be doing that, then that's what it's going to be. It's probably not going to escalate into a relationship.
Yeah.
So if I had that kind of relationship, like in the past, if I had that kind of relationship with black women, then the sexual freedom is there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think that when women look at you as a potential partner, they get a little nervous about showing you that freak.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And eventually, maybe it gets there. Maybe it's not only maybe because of stereotype, maybe societal expectations and all that. A woman is not supposed to do this and all that.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of it, and that's what creeps into maybe, you know, some of the suppressive actions sexually of black women.
I just feel
in
like
my experience.
I just feel like we got to get away from it.
No question.
Because we're losing love and relationships amongst each other. Mm-hmm. Like, and I tell people all the time, like, man, it's just, I don't have nothing to say bad about nobody. But at the end of the day, if people want to stop losing, it's just like if we have, you know, we look at black businesses and we say, well, how can we be better or get to this magnitude of having our own black owned business? First of all, we got to communicate with each other. We got to stop hating on each other. We got to stop blackballing each other, holding ourselves accountable. And when business is business, let's like do business with me like you would do with a white person. For whatever reason, we don't ever want to disappoint a white person. We change our voice, our clothes, we change everything. But when it come to niggas, we late, we dress whatever, we do whatever. And it's like, can I get that same level of professionalism for this black business, for your black ass?
Yeah.
I don't understand
that's
that.
That's not asking too much.
And
it's
don't,
not.
And don't ask for a fucking discount either, man.
My nigga.
I mean, really, we'll go everything. We'll go spend so much money on them or any of the other benefits. Yeah. When your boys say, hey, bro, I need that. What? Can I get this? Can I get that first?
Get it. Can I
we
get
always
it?
Want something in return for one another.
Yeah.
But we'll easily spend the money somewhere.
And then we never making no motherfucking money.
Nothing.
Or we'll go to a place. Build. Or we'll go to a place and we'll buy one of the most expensive things in a white store. And not to be funny, knowing we really can't afford it. But we don't want to look like we can't. So niggas have purchased. I've done that in my young age. And I'll be like, let me go ahead and do it. We told the thing when we was in D.C., we was eating at this restaurant. And we was at the bar in D.C. and a roach came across the counter. These are the things that as a white person you'll never understand. She tapped me and she was like, look. And I just thumped it.
Look, it's a roach.
Yeah, but I thumped it. But I didn't want to say, look, it's a roach. Because I was like, I told her, I said, these white folks probably going to be like, well, y'all brought it in here. Because it's unfortunate, but we're viewed in a certain way.
I'm like, what the manager at?
Yeah.
That shit free. Give me something to go.
But I was just like, yeah, you know, it's just certain things, you know what I'm saying, though. As a black person, there's certain ways we have to think or maneuver to not be seen as what they say we are. You know what I'm saying?
Like drinking a watermelon flavored Arizona. Like, you can't go in a white store.
This is what I'm going to tell you.
I'm not eating chicken in front of them. I ain't drinking Kool-Aid. I ain't none of that.
I went to a house party. It was black dudes. And they had you know what I'm talking about. They had what was that? It was a celebration. Was it for Black History Month? Juneteenth. And it was like watermelon, chicken. And I was like, I'm not eating this bullshit. Like, I understand the joke behind it. But I was like, I'm not eating this shit. Nah. I'm not doing this. If we don't want nobody else making fun of us, why the fuck you gonna do something? Make fun? Yeah. I know it laughing at certain things, but
that's another conversation. Because if you look and dig and deep about watermelon, how healthy it is for us, it might look different.
That's the thing too.
We so brainwashed,
in a different way.
I might not want to do this. I'm gonna be making fun of. Or I'm stereotyping myself.
Yeah,
yeah. And they love watermelon too.
Yeah.
White folks love everything that they crack jokes about us. Like,
they want to be us.
They got more motherfucking chicken. They love chicken. It makes me think about.
I can't
stop thinking about. I let her watch Cat Williams the other day.
Which one?
The one where he was talking about he was like, I don't trust that Popeye's bitch. Yeah. He was like, this bitch said ghost pepper chicken. I love that shit, bro. If you have not seen the Cat Williams special, you got to watch it.
It's supposed to be here today too, I think.
Who? Cat Williams?
He'll be here tonight. Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Do you think platonic relationships between male and female can actually work? You can be a friend with a woman that's attractive. And you not fuck them, want nothing from them.
Yes, I think it's a certain maturity level you have to have in order to do that. Like, I mean, to me, for me, I didn't believe it at first. Like when I was a little younger, because I was trying to blaze everything that was fine. But as I got older, I was like, you know, it was like a challenge. Like, can you really be what you're saying you're trying to be?
Yeah.
Or are you just trying to, you know, wait until she, you know, find her in a weak moment and then slide up in her? So it was more of a challenge to men. And some, and I'm
thorough.
Saying, yeah, and I'm saying some women personally, women have they're great friends.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
great.
They really
friends.
Are great right. friends. Why you think gay guys and women like man, shit?
They're great.
It's
friends.
Perfect.
So, yeah, yeah. So it's a challenge, but and it's difficult, but it's not impossible.
I think it's more so on the women though.
No, I definitely think it's doable. I mean, one of my really best friends, one of my best friends, my oldest friends, I've known since I was like 9 or 10.
Yeah,
never dated and never thought about it. Thought never crossed my mind.
Like, but have y'all ever had sexual conversations?
We have.
And that's the thing,
so, like,
too.
And that's another reason I feel like I personally could never date her, do anything physically like that with her, because I know too much about her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've shared shit that she ain't told nobody else.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Yeah. So we're not even crossing that line.
Yeah.
It's like brother, sister.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I've had that. I mean, I think it's it could work because, and I hate to say this, because fellas, sometimes you got your boys that you want to talk to, but if you tell them a little bit too much,
they're like, man,
they
pussy.
But they plotting to go behind your back and do
and get your shit.
Get your shit.
Most definitely.
You fucking up. So, but you talk to another woman who's mature, who got her own shit, and y'all can talk about whatever, and there is nothing there. That's cool to me. Because I have a couple of them because they just, they open to it, and I get to talk. Hey, let me prick their brain a little bit. We've talked about it. She a little antsy about it, but I told the same thing. I don't overdo it. It's like the motherfucker can't call me any time of the night.
Yeah.
No, we don't talk outside of that. We'll talk maybe at work or we see each other out or whatever, but she can't call, text, none of that shit.
Yeah.
We don't do that. Yeah. And the same thing where I told you, it's okay if you have a male friend, as long as they respect the home, I'm good with that.
I think, and like you said, I think that's the biggest thing is respecting the boundaries that are set within the relationship. Right. Now, the reason I asked that too is because I've been in a situation where I have good female friends. And then you do have the ones, I know y'all all done had a female where it's like you're friends, but it's like those boundaries start to switch on the girl's part. Mm-hmm. You start being too cool, and it's like you cool with them, but it's like they start to kind of go out of their way. And I'm like, I don't need you to drive 30 miles to go give me no juice.
Yeah.
If the shit ain't at the store, you don't got to go to. And that's the things you got to start watching in a platonic relationship. If they say they coming over to kick it and they, hey, bring me a juice. And it's a you know, corner store, and they go and they be like, oh, it ain't one here. I'm gonna go where, like, nah,
that's okay.
You just come on over here,
because
when you start going out of your way, that's when it's like, okay, I need to reanalyze, I need to reevaluate this shit, because something is shifting here,
right? Mm. You know, the best way to do it though, I got this little litmus test that I have, and it's if I have somebody who is a female who's saying that she's a friend and all that, what I do is talk to her about other chicks and see how she reacts. That's how you're going to find out how they really feel about you.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Another woman?
Yeah. Talk about somebody else you with or somebody you eyeing or whatever. Yeah. That reaction is going to tell you what her intentions
are. And you know what's funny, too, with my wife? She's cool with that whole scenario we talked about, but only if she don't think the girl is fine. I just thought about that. If that girl fine herself, she
it don't matter. And that's the danger I've had in most of my relationships, because the women that I'm cool with are attractive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like the women I'm cool with are attractive, and it's like most people see and they be like, I mean, I haven't even had homeboys. They be like, you ain't never fucked her. I'm like, never fucked her in my life.
Yeah.
And niggas be like, you haven't? Why not? And it's like, bro, I be like, I just don't see her like that. She got a fat ass. I remember I was dating this girl. And I had told her about my homegirl. My homegirl got 3 kids. And I was like, yeah, I got a homegirl, 3 kids. She coming over. So in her mind, I'm giving y'all some insight before I tell you whatever. So in her mind, she thinking 3 kids, she fat and whatever. So I remember she came over after this gala one day. And she came to my house and I was like, hey, babe, this is so-and-so-and-so. She's like, oh, and I could tell on her face like, oh, so this is her. And like my homegirl kind of noticed it too. So she got up and she's like, well, it was nice meeting you. I was getting ready to go. Anthony, it was good seeing you. I'll see you the next time. So when she left, my girl was like, I didn't know she was that pretty. And I was like, you was expecting her to be fat and sloppy because she got 3 kids, you know? So not all black women just pop kids out and don't do shit else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Some of them, they do go back to the gym like other women do and keep that shit nice and tight.
Right.
I think that's the threat, though.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
And niggas, like, I don't know about other dudes, but like for me, I don't care if a girl I'm dating has a guy friend. You know what I'm saying? I literally don't care. But again, it's the parameters of how he's moving. Yeah. You know, is he calling late at night? Is he sending disrespectful texts?
Yeah, you disrespected me. Yeah. You know what I mean? You gotta get checked on that. And a lot of times the females won't necessarily recognize that.
Yeah.
We will recognize it.
Yeah.
But they won't, just like on the other way around.
Yeah, so, that's what I say, it goes both ways.
Yeah, the females will recognize some shit that a female friend is doing. But like, yo, that's kind of shady.
Yeah.
You know? And if the girl, if she finds a girl unattractive, it's how she always responds. Oh, she's so cool.
Yeah.
But if she finds you like, So where she work at now? Yeah. She work right next to you?
Yeah.
On the other building. I mean,
how long you know her?
Yeah.
You got those questions that really start to come
right,
into play.
Right. That's how I know she think the girl pretty. If not, she'd be like, oh, she is so cool. You ought to invite her over next time. We have game night.
They ain't inviting
over. The fine one? Nah. Nope.
Well, how you know? How long you been on? And the biggest problem is if you've been with a girl for 5 years and you only been knowing that new friend 2 years. Oh, you met her since we've been cool?
Oh.
How y'all friends? Because see, after 30 years old, after 30 and 35 years old, every woman you meet, I still think platonic relationships can happen, but you do got to be more mindful, because at this age and you're meeting new women and you ain't married, then they kind of like, well, he's cool. You know, you may be getting vetted and you don't even know.
Oh, no, we are always getting
vetted. You know what I'm saying? All the time.
I'm vetting their ass, too.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True. We're about to get ready to wrap it up. Frank, what would you tell people, like, what would you say? Because so many people talk negatively about marriage, and they'd be like, oh, don't ever get married, don't ever have kids. What would be somebody who wants to get married, for the young brothers out there, what's the benefit of getting married outside of it being a business and your bills would be cut in half?
Right. You know, I think it's just nation building as far as I'm concerned. I'm thinking about next generations, and I'm thinking about the perception of black people and not coming together and not, expanding the family. You know what I'm saying? Expanding the generation. I'm not thinking about what's happening today. I'm thinking about a better tomorrow.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we have to have this unit intact.
True.
You know what I'm saying? So that's, to me, that's the benefit of it. And when I'm with my wife, and it's funny because we talk about it, and I tell her, because she brown skinned too, and I tell her when we go places, people be looking at us funny because they're not, you know, used, depending on where you're going, you're not used to seeing, like, you know, black couples. You're used to seeing, like, interracial couples.
You are?
Yeah.
So that's my thing. You know, I'm proud of my relationship, you know what I'm saying? And I want my kids to see a healthy relationship, you know, people, husband and wife together, so that become the norm for them. And as they get older and continue to, you know what I'm saying, duplicate the process.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I want to step out and just, like, I'm sweating. I feel like sweat bees. Raymond, what would you tell people, like, what's the incentive of being married outside of, like I said, bills being split, food, and, brother, you are so nice.
You're my man.
I guess my motivation for it all is I got married, what Frank said about the whole, you know, building those nations. Because that's very, very important, because right now, if they had their way, we'd be becoming extinct. You know what I mean? So that's part of it. And the other half, of course, the meeting, which is, again, like I said earlier, as far as communication, that's my homegirl.
Yeah.
So I always want to hang out with her. You know what I mean? Now I don't have to ask her to come over. She's right next to me. You know what I'm saying?
She's in another room.
And the other part, of course, is the way I grew up, not having, and I think we talked about it a little bit on social media, never having a dad in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my mom was barely there as well. So now when I wake up in the morning and I see my son, it's like every single day it blows my motherfucking mind that he will never know what it is to not have a dad. Not only does he have me, he gets to see his mama every damn every day. So he'll know exactly what it is. So guess what I'm teaching him? Keep growing that nation.
Right.
When you get older, you see what this shit look like. Keep it moving and pass it on to your kids as well. Because this is my only one. I'm not having any other one. So thank God he gave me a son.
But I think that's also what happens when we go back to even talking about the interracial dating and white women doing certain things. Most of them is proven that white marriages last longer than black marriages.
Mm.
So it's like a man is able to teach his son this. A woman is able to teach her daughter this. Mm-hmm. They also see their parents kissing on each other, loving on each other.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see
grabbing
that.
Rice.
And it's like for us, it's like being like with my mother raising us, you're raised like being in single parent homes. Sometimes the son is being raised to be a man.
Yes.
Yeah.
The woman is also being raised to be damn near a man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when we get together, we're butting heads because we're two leaders and two, nobody knows how to follow or be submissive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
like a woman is telling you, don't be out here sucking everybody's dick and like all these negative connotations are tied to sex, that are tied to men using you, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So you never let a man get that close.
Yeah.
And then if you do let a man get that close and you do all these freaky things and it don't work out for you, you never do it again.
Yep.
So every nigga is paying for everything that the first guy did.
Yeah.
So it really starts with the niggas in this room,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Black men,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Raising our families, treating the women the way they should be treated, to where, not to be funny, I don't really know a black woman that if you treat her right and you do the things that you need to do, that won't pour back into you or
no
give
question.
You your heart's desire sexually. If they don't, then it may be something that they need to work through.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them a bad person, because some people are just more sexual than others. But then you got to determine what you can deal with. I think that's when it gets to the point. I'm sure both of you ran into that when you got married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like this, I don't like this, but do the good outweigh the bad, and can I deal with this?
Can I deal
the
with
only
it?
Fucked up part about it is sex is a big thing to say, can I not go without this?
No, right.
That's a tough thing.
It's real tough. I mean, so, now, let me say something real quick too.
Like, we got 5 minutes. You good?
Okay. Don't get caught up. I'm talking to the fellas out there.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in the whole storybook love thing. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah. Right.
Shit
right.
Is not real. Love ain't gonna love. You ain't gonna love them all the time.
Huxtables.
But you got. Happen. But you gotta like them though. You know what I'm saying? Because if you like them and they're your best friend and you think they cool, then that relationship is gonna last. Which is why female friends last longer sometimes.
Very true.
Than relationships.
Very true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So very true. Just keep that in mind.
Last question before I let you guys shoot out your handles. How do you feel like, what do you think we can do to better like black brotherhood? And what I mean by that is, we'll leave this room, not saying us per se, but so many times we'll walk out of this room and we'll never contact each other again. Mm-hmm. We'll never grab a beer. We'll never hang out. I owe Jeremiah, and I love Jeremiah, man, but he always reaches out to me.
Yeah.
And maybe it's an up north thing or a different upbringing, but I even tell Artesia, I've been sick lately, and you know. But I told her, I said, and you can mark my words, I said, I got to do better with him. I said, this dude calls me all the time, always want to hang out, and I never make it. Now, one of the things is the age gap, because how old are you?
28.
And I'm 35. So it's certain things he wants to do is later, and I'm like, my ass is old.
Yeah, he don't get out till like 2 o'clock.
Yeah, and I'd be like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
But like I told her, I said, I do want to start doing better to show him. Like, because I, like, when I say I love Jeremiah, I truly do.
Yeah,
and I don't mean like I love him because, like, I only been knowing you like 2 years, but I was like, he's consistent.
Yeah.
He has a good head on his shoulder. He's fucking supportive.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I've been in situations like right now, I won't go too deep in it, but like, my brother hates my guts. My brother.
Mm.
So it's like when you got people who are not your brother that still love you and they know certain things about you and they still accept you, if you don't love them, you're a fucking fool.
Mm-hmm.
I love Frank because how many, 2 or 3 years?
That same. Ain't been that long.
It ain't?
Nah.
It's been two, right?
It just seemed like it.
It ain't been 2 years?
Wow.
Maybe it's been a year.
If I was a girl, I'd be saying this nigga got some good dick. I mean, but Frank is
good. We're going to edit that.
But Frank is a good guy to where he's been the same way, very supportive. Me and you met from Fishbowl, and we just kept in contact.
Yeah.
You know, you always give me shout out and support when I'm doing the same, you know, vice versa. So I think the biggest thing that I would tell brothers, if we could do anything, man, more conversations like this need to happen.
No question.
Call up your brother, get a beer. Call up your homeboy, check on him. And the thing that I want to tell people is you don't always have to agree on the same things.
Nah.
If y'all don't agree, that don't mean you should hate each other.
I don't even want to agree with
anything. That's what I'm saying. How are you learning if there's no disagreement?
I'm growing, right.
So where can they find you at, Red, on social?
All right, all social media, y'all can find me at The Red Boy Radio Show. Red Boy is spelled R-E-D-B-O-I, and radio is spelled R-A-Y-D-I-O. The Red Boy Radio Show.
And what platforms are you?
On platform on Air Media.
On Air Media?
Yeah, onairmedia.com.
All right, and where can they, Frank, tell them about you and your handle. I mean, I know this nigga. Facebook got to let this nigga back on.
Let your boy back
in. Oh, damn.
But you can find the company, though, Melanin Origins, on all social media sites at Melanin Origins. You can find me on Instagram at black_GHST75.
That's a shame that I know this nigga.
You know my shit.
This nigga been on here so much.
Yes, sir.
And Jeremiah, where can I find you at on social media?
Instagram and Twitter is JeremiahTX27. Facebook is just my name.
And you are, what is it that you do?
So I work for the Black Chamber of Commerce in Fort Worth. Run the economic club.
Cool.
And he does a lot of philanthropic stuff, philanthropic stuff here in Dallas. You do volleyball coach. You know, you can trust this nigga with your daughters.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I remember me and Arteezy went to support him at one event he had, and I walked in and I was like, all these little shorts on these girls, I wouldn't let my daughter play volleyball. But this is a man you can trust if you want somebody, you know, your kids to play. You know, he makes them put their pants on after the game.
Very good.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So be sure to keep up with all things The Reality Is by going to www.therealityis.com. That's THA, The Reality Is. Also follow us at The Reality Is on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can listen to previous podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Player.fm, Listen Notes, and more. If you would like to be a guest on the show or you would like us to answer your questions from our perspective, be sure to email us at info@therealityis.com or call and leave us a message at 469-351-9681, and we'll be sure to answer the question on the next episode. Last but not least, be sure to leave us a rating or review on whatever platform you listen to the podcast on. We don't care if it's a good review. We don't care if it's a bad review. We just want to hear from you. And as I always say, man, inhale courage to exhale success. Or if you're feeling real brody one day, you just ride your own dick sometime.
Already.
We got this bitch. We'll see y'all next week. Up next, we got Georgetta Foreman, the first daughter of the former heavyweight champion George Foreman, coming up next. And this is The Reality Is podcast. We'll check y'all next.
Yeah.